Hello, hello, hello. Happy New Year. Welcome. Justin Bader here, and I am very excited about our training today. You are in the right place for Achievement Science, how to accomplish your top goals in 2021. So welcome, welcome. Happy New Year. Leave a comment and let me know that you are here just to make sure everything is working. We're doing this live on Facebook, so I'll be using the Facebook comments to take questions and to get examples from you about the kinds of goals that you are thinking about for 2021. So go ahead and leave a comment. I just want to make sure everything's working because sometimes there's a little bit of a delay, and hopefully those will come through. So there we go. I see Cedric and Samantha. Awesome. And could you give me a yes if you can see me? Hi, I'm waving and see my slides and hear me. I just want to make sure that we're coming through loud and clear. Welcome, Anne-Marie, Samantha, Cedric, Jennifer. Excellent. Welcome, welcome. Great to be here together in a new year. Looks like we've got quite a crew getting signed in here. Excellent. Welcome, Paige and Heather and Samantha and Alicia. Excellent. Welcome. Good deal. Looks like everything's working. So I think we will jump right in, and we're calling this webinar Achievement Science, how to accomplish your top goals in 2021. And this idea of achievement science is that there are certain principles or certain kind of fundamental characteristics of achievement that we can start to treat as a science. And I've been working on this particular body of content for about 5 years and refining it, using it in my own life. And I hope it's helpful to you today. And what I'd like to ask you to do is make immediate application of it and see if it works for you, see if it makes sense. So think about the goals that you have for this year. Maybe they're written out already. Maybe you've done some sort of planning process, or maybe they're just kind of vague in your head. Maybe you have a few rough ideas. I would love to hear those and see how they plug into the framework that I'm going to share with you today. And stay tuned, because I'm going to give you my favorite template for getting more done in less time. And I'll show you a little preview of it here. Here, we'll put this up on full screen for a second. I'll give you the download link to this shortly, and that's called the Fortnite Sprint Plan. But we'll get to that when we get to it. Thank you so much for being here, and to everybody who's commenting. Great to see so many people tuning in live here on New Year's Day. Welcome Pamela and Shelley and Pat and Laura Lynn and Deborah. Awesome. Okay, so here's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to share with you what may be to you a new system. I've been using it for a while and sharing it with our members for a while. But for most people, it's going to be a new system for planning how to use your time and how to accomplish your most important goals. And we'll talk about estimating, why that's so important, and why it actually allows us to set bigger goals when we're good at estimating how much we can get done. We'll talk about two key units of time that are not normally a part of our planning or thinking about our time management. In North America, at least, they're very unusual units of time, but incredibly useful. We'll talk about one resource that we tend to run out of before we run out of time and how we can budget that more effectively. And we'll talk about a simple system, and I'll give you a template for getting an overview of your workload for the coming week so that you can plan realistically and estimate more realistically. And we'll also talk about using the next 90 days to accomplish some significant goals. So with that, let's jump right in. And the first thing I would like to do is get you to share, if you would, a particular goal that you have in mind. Now, we're on Facebook here. This is public. You know, you don't have to say anything too, too personal. Something that would be recognizable to other people as a goal that they might share. So, there are some goals, of course, that you have that maybe are more personal. But think about a goal that you wouldn't mind me using as an example here. And if you wouldn't mind sharing one, and I'm going to share some of my own example goals here to illustrate how this system works and how you can use it to plan more effective goals for this year. So if you would take a moment to type a goal or two in the chat. Maybe you have a degree that you're finishing up. Is anybody in a doctoral program? Just say yes, or give me an emoji or something, or wave at me with an emoji if you're in a doctoral program. I know we have a lot of people who are in doc programs. I personally was very good at being in a doctoral program. In fact, so good that I stayed in it for 10 whole years before I graduated. So if you want to graduate a little bit faster than I did, might be worth paying attention to some of these principles that we're going to talk about today. Samantha says, improving school culture, new admin team, very important. Peggy says, relaunching PLCs. Yeah, I got your text about that the other day. Thank you, Peggy. All right, I'll keep an eye on those and we'll circle back to those goals. Go ahead and write those down, and we're going to jump right in to the big idea for today, which is that there are actually five different kinds of goals. And I call this the 5P goal system because they all start with the letter P. No coincidence. That's very much on purpose for making it easy to remember. But I find that in a lot of cases, when we set goals, we only set one kind of goal, and that doesn't work. For example, as an educator, you probably have been conditioned to believe that SMART goals are the absolute best kind of goal. So you probably try to set all of your goals as SMART goals. And maybe you went home and you got with your significant other and said, hey, honey, I really want to set some goals for our relationship. And they said, oh, okay, yeah. And then the next thing you said was, well, they need to be specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. And then maybe you got kind of a skeptical look from your significant other who's thinking, I'm not sure I want some specific and time-bound and measurable, like that seems a little bit weird for our relationship to have goals like that. And that's true, right? It is a little bit weird to use the SMART goal format for everything. And in fact, there are drawbacks to every kind of goal. So using them all in conjunction is going to be very powerful for you. And if you are in our Achievement Science Quarterly Intensive, you may have seen this already. But for most people, this is going to be brand new. And I would love to have your reactions. I'd love to know what you think about it. These five kinds of goals work together. I call them parameter, purpose, phase, progress, and practice. And SMART goals are the fourth one there. The SMART goals are what I call progress goals. Resolutions are probably something along the lines of either practice goals or maybe phase goals. Like if you've resolved to write a book this year or resolved to finish a degree, that might be a phase goal. If you have resolved to exercise for 30 minutes every day, that might be a practice goal. Let's go ahead and define each of those, starting at the top with parameter goals. Now, parameter was actually the last kind of goals I added to this system. I felt like something was missing until we had this. Parameter goals define success in terms of remaining within specified boundaries, such as your core values. And this is kind of the way that you make sure you're not losing track of what really matters to you as you pursue other goals, right? Because every goal can be pursued at an unacceptable cost, right? Like if I want to write a book, one way I could write a book would be to go to a cabin in the woods for 2 months, leave everything behind, leave my family behind, leave my obligations behind, not pay any bills, like just go to a cabin in the woods and write. And I could probably knock out a book in 2 months without much difficulty if I left everything else behind. But one of my parameters for this goal is that I can't leave everything else behind, right? Like I have to take care of my family. I have to be present for my wife and kids. I have to continue to, pay bills and, meet my existing obligations. So there are parameters that I cannot go outside of if I want to achieve other goals. And I think sometimes we have to be clear on we keep ourselves within those parameters, but sometimes we need to really articulate why we can't do something else to achieve a particular goal, even if somebody has said, that's really what you have to do. So what are some parameters for you? One parameter that often comes up professionally is ethics, right? I'm not going to cheat, I'm not going to lie, I'm not going to steal in order to achieve a particular goal. I remember a couple of years ago, this is getting to be probably a decade ago now, there were a number of testing scandals, right? Where people said, okay, we need in our district, we need to get our test scores up to a certain level. We have these accountability measures that are in place. So we've got to get our test scores up. That's the only goal, get the test scores up. And what they didn't do was say, actually, we need to get our test scores up within the parameters of our values. We're not going to cheat. We're not going to suspend kids on the test day if we think they weren't going to pass anyway. We're not going to erase answers on answer sheets so that they become right answers. You know, when we don't articulate our values for ourselves and say, you know, these are the conditions under which it would be acceptable for me to achieve that goal, sometimes we get ourselves into trouble. So let's see. And balance is a parameter that I think people are listing that as a goal, but I think it's often best as a parameter goal. Like, I'm going to achieve this thing that matters to me, but I'm not going to sacrifice my relationships, my most important relationships, to achieve that goal. I remember Amy and I had a colleague years ago who was, a parent, who was a spouse, who was an educator with a very important leadership role in her school. And she was accepted into a doctoral program, took some of the classes for that, and then decided, you know what? I cannot achieve all of these things at once. I'm going to violate some of my parameters if I continue in this doctoral program. So she left the doctoral program, and I have an enormous amount of respect for that, because based on everything that she had going on at the time, she made a clear-headed decision that to stick to her values, to care about what mattered to her, she was going to let that particular achievement go and just say, you know what, I'm not going to get the doctorate. It's not worth the price. And maybe you've made a decision like that in the past. Maybe your situation has changed and you've circled back to it. But we've got to ask ourselves at all times, what are my parameters? What are the values that I need to live within? Another parameter might simply be budget, right? There are things that you could do if you had unlimited money, but you know, you don't have unlimited money. We don't have unlimited time. We need to stay healthy. We need to keep eating healthily. You know, we've got lots of parameters that we need to stay within. So let me ask you, oh, I can see more comments here. Good deal. Let's see. Yeah, let me know if you can still hear me. Give me a yes if you can still hear me. I just want to make sure that we didn't lose the signal here. And let me know, what are some parameters that you want to keep within a healthy range? What are some things that you don't want to violate as you achieve other goals? And this often is a very real tension. You know, if you had to move away from your family to move to a bigger city to get an education, that probably was a tension that maybe violated parameters that other people wanted to be in place, and you were willing to sacrifice those in order to achieve your goal. Okay, looks like we're good to go signal wise. So yeah, you can always hit refresh in Facebook if you lose the signal, and it should reload for you. So what are some of your parameters that you don't want to lose track of? These also can come up as fears, right? If I write a book, what am I afraid will happen if I pursue that goal vigorously enough? What am I worried about? Good deal. Budget, ethics, yeah. Home and family balance. Thank you, Shelley and Paige. Good deal. All right, so parameter goals, pretty straightforward. Values, you know, the things that you don't want to sacrifice as you achieve other goals. The second type of goal is a purpose goal, and these are the goals that you truly care about, what you ultimately want, your driving motivations. And you may not actually be able to achieve a purpose goal directly. It may be something that you work toward over the course of your entire career, but purpose goals are why you're in this. They're why you get out of bed in the morning. For example, you may go to school every day. You may wake yourself up early and bust your tail every day, week in, week out, to achieve purposes like educational equity, student achievement, justice, opportunity. I want to give my kids opportunity in life. So I'm going to do whatever it takes as a principal to create that opportunity for them. There are some higher level purposes that transcend the SMART goals, the test scores, the numbers, right? There are some things that matter to you so that when you look back on your life later, you can say to yourself, you know what? I was on track. I was working toward, you know, maybe I didn't get a check in the mail that said congratulations on your work toward educational equity, but I was doing work that mattered. And that's like inherently valuable to me. Equity, yeah. Good deal. Good deal. Lots of great comments coming in. Thank you for those. And that also lets me know that everything's working. So I appreciate your comments as we go along. Family has been mentioned by many people. You know, one of my friends said on Facebook the other day, you know, just today, now that it's New Year's, people are reflecting on this. You know, nobody looks back at the end of their life. You know, the idea from Tuesdays with Maury, nobody looks back at the end of their life and says, you know what? I wish I'd worked more. I wish I'd spent more time at the office. I wish I hadn't seen my kids so much. That's not what we're going to say at the end of our lives, right? So what, looking back, will you be glad that you worked toward, even if you just played a small part in a bigger movement that transcended you, that was about more than, you know, than you could achieve with your one life that you have to live? Deborah says creating opportunities student achievement, advocacy for the marginalized in our community. And Marie says equity. Love it. So what are you ultimately working toward? Now, this is an important question to ask yourself. But what's tricky about purpose goals when it comes to actual goal setting is that often we can't directly do our purpose goals. Like, it's not like you can go out and just, you know, today I'm going to wake up early and achieve equity, right? Like, it's vague, it's nebulous, it's long-term, it's a team effort, it may be even be a profession-wide effort. You know, we also have difficulty measuring some of those higher level purpose things. Sometimes we measure them anecdotally, you know, like when a student comes back to you as an adult and, you know, runs into you in the grocery store and says, hey, you were my teacher 20 years ago. I'm not sure if you remember me, but you really made a difference in my life. Like, that kind of thing is very difficult to measure. It may not be appropriate to set a SMART goal that says, you know, in the year 2040, I will have an average of 3 students per year come up to me in the grocery store and tell me, you know, like, getting too measurable with purpose goals gets a little bit silly and can kind of miss the point. So it's okay for purpose goals to be a little bit vague. Yeah, positive culture, staff and students taking risks. Yeah, risk taking is a great one. Like, if there's an inherent value in, you know, changing the culture of something, you know, it's okay to not worry too much about how you'll measure that aspect of it. But it's not okay to just have it as a dream and hope that someday you do it. Like, we got to figure out a way to actually make it happen. So that brings us to the third kind of goal, which are phase goals or milestones. At some point, we have to turn our aspirations into reality and figure out a way to actually do them, to actually put them into practice, make some sort of tangible progress. So phase goals, think of those as milestones, think of those as any kind of visible, tangible, external, you know, other people would be able to see that you had achieved that phase goal. So think of them in terms like this. A phase goal might be finishing a project, writing a book, writing a report, updating a strategic plan. Maybe a good phase goal for you right now is landing that next job that you're looking for. Maybe you're looking to move into a principal position after years as an assistant principal. Maybe that's your next phase of impact toward your purpose of achieving educational equity. Maybe you've decided for yourself that in order to have that next level of impact, you've got to move into a different role. Well, that would be a great phase goal. And if you ever feel like maybe you're being a little bit selfish by advancing your own career, remember that it's in the service of something that is not selfish. So the linkages between these different levels of goals, you know, if you can always connect your goals to a higher purpose that is going to matter to you long term, then a lot of this gets a lot clearer and a lot easier. So finishing a certification, finishing a degree, taking a single course could be a great phase goal. One that I am going to focus on this quarter with Heather. Hey, Heather, great to see you here today, is writing a book. I'm going to write my next book this quarter. And I say that with a fairly high degree of confidence because of the system that I'm sharing with you today and because of all of the different kind of planning considerations that I'm going to teach you in the remainder of our time together today. So very excited to work with Heather on the book. We've got some time set aside for this and some energy set aside for getting that phase goal accomplished in the next quarter. Now, the book will not be in your hands this quarter. I can guarantee it will not be printed and available on Amazon this quarter. That will come later. You know, the publishing process takes a while, but I'm going to knock out with Heather the phase goal of actually writing the book, at least the first draft of the book this quarter. And then there's an editorial process, there's a revision process, and so on. But my phase goal for this quarter is to get that book written. Thank you, Deborah. Very excited about writing that book with Heather, one of our superstar Principal Center principals. What about progress goals? This brings us to the third level. And again, this is probably the most familiar to educators, the good old SMART goal. Progress goals are measurable. They are specific. They are attainable. They are relevant. They are time-bound. You know, whatever version of the SMART goal acronym you use, we're talking about progress goals. And the funny thing about progress goals is that they are not enough by themselves, but they are useful for what they do. They allow us to gather feedback on how we're doing. You know, if you weigh yourself on the scale, if you say, you know, my goal is to lose 10 pounds this quarter, if you weigh yourself, you can tell, am I losing weight? Am I going in the right direction? Am I going in the wrong direction? Am I standing still? If I'm working on a book this quarter, I can look at my word count. I can say, did I write 2,000 words this week so far? Did I write the first 4 chapters this week? And I can have a reality check for myself so that I can adjust my effort or adjust my plan if I need to. But here's the thing. A SMART goal by itself is not really a plan. A SMART goal is not something that you can directly do. It is not something probably that you directly care about. Like the exact number of words that I write on any particular day is really kind of irrelevant. I need to keep myself on track, but it doesn't matter in the big picture of things. You know, I'm not gonna look back when I'm 80 years old and say, you know what, back in 2021, I meant to write 2,000 words that first week of January and I didn't, and I'm really disappointed. Yeah, I'm not going to be disappointed in myself, you know, far into the future if I don't hit that particular progress goal. They're not really meaningful by themselves. They're just a way of keeping ourselves on track. So the biggest mistake that people make with goal setting, especially educators who are trained in SMART goal setting, the biggest mistake we make is to only set SMART goals. So please do not make the mistake of only setting SMART goals. Don't say to yourself, I'm gonna lose 10 pounds this quarter. I'm gonna finish my master's degree this quarter. That's all that matters. I'm going to write 10,000 words. I'm gonna take 10,000 steps. I'm gonna run 50 miles a week. Don't make the mistake of only setting a SMART goal, because I guarantee what's missing from that SMART goal is something that you truly ultimately care about, right? When you make something measurable, you're being arbitrary, right? To pick a word count or a number of miles or a number of steps or whatever your particular quantitative goal is to be arbitrary, right? You are picking a number out of the air and saying, this is how I will keep myself on track. But that's not your motivation. That's not why you're doing this. And it's not what you will actually do in most cases. So we need other kinds of goals. Brooke says, what will the book be about? So we're focusing on instructional vision and instructional frameworks in this book. So using the language of your instructional framework to provide better evidence-based and criterion-based feedback on teaching. So it kind of builds on the ideas in Now We're Talking and goes beyond getting into classrooms and really talks about developing and using those instructional frameworks that provide shared expectations. So very excited. Thank you for asking, Brooke. We'll share more in the coming months. So again, some progress goal examples. Test scores are progress goals in terms of students, or if you are, maybe you're working toward passing an exam and you're taking practice tests, that could be a particular SMART or progress goal. Monitoring your weight, your blood sugar, your mile time, how many steps you take, whatever it is that you need to measure to stay on track. Now, again, the thing here is there have to be parameters in place. Right? The parameters have to be in place first, or else it's too easy to cheat to hit those progress goals, right? Like you can get higher test scores by taking the test yourself for your students. You can get higher test scores by expelling all the kids who weren't going to pass. Like there are lots of terrible ways to achieve any kind of quantitative goal. And this is actually a fairly big problem in public administration, known as Campbell's Law, where if we take too quantitative a goal and we say, this is all that matters, hitting these numbers is all that matters. Like this is a big thing in policing in the 90s and the 2000s. They said, you know, hitting these numbers, you know, we've got CompStat, we're gonna track our crime statistics and we're gonna improve our crime statistics. Well, if that's all that matters, people cheat. People know that they are working within a system that has certain incentives. And we even do that to ourselves, right? We even say, you know what, I'm just gonna not drink water today so that I hit my weight when I weigh in, right? We've gotta be honest with ourselves about what really matters and what parameters need to be in place for that goal to be to really matter. So gotta be careful not to let SMART goals drive too much of this whole process. That brings us to the fourth type of goal, which are practice goals. And practice goals are what we actually do. I'm sorry, this is the fifth type, the practice goals. Practice goals are what we actually do. They are the specific actions that we take to achieve our higher level goals. And I said earlier that New Year's resolutions often take the form of practice goals. Now, maybe you have kind of a big picture resolution, like you want to finish a degree or something, but a lot of our resolutions are things like, I want to drink 10 glasses of water a day, or I want to walk 10,000 steps a day, or I want to run 5 miles, or write 500 words. You know, those kinds of behavioral habits, you know, things that you want to be consistent about often come up as resolutions. Those are the kind of things we make into resolutions. And that can be very useful to be specific because you know when you've done it. If you haven't done it, the solution is to do it. You know, don't make yourself any kind of excuse, just do it. And I may need to organize my day around ensuring that I can get that practice goal done if I want to stay on track for a bigger goal. Like if I'm going to write a book this quarter, I am going to have to set aside time every day, ideally probably first thing in the morning, to do some serious writing. And there's no universe in which I can, get a book done without writing, right? There's no universe in which I can train for a marathon by not running. So let me ask you, what are some things that you will actually need to do this quarter on a consistent basis? Maybe not every single day, but you know, on an ongoing, regular, consistent basis. What are some things that you will actually need to do to reach your higher level goals? All right, so what would be some of the things that you will need to do this quarter to move toward your goals? So Chandra says, visit 3 classrooms daily. That's a big one for me. That's one I care about. Paige says, write the first 3 chapters of my dissertation. I love it. So writing on a regular basis, like setting aside time to do that writing is gonna be critical, right? Let's see. People are saying we're back. Oh yes, touching base with substitute teachers every day in order to provide support. Love it, Deborah. Thank you. So there are things that we need to do just because we need to do them on a regular basis. And sometimes if it would be a little weird to measure it as an outcome, it may just be something that we need to do more as a practice. For example, if you want to improve your relationships with your family, with your significant other, one of the things you may decide to do is just set aside uninterrupted time for you to spend with that particular person. Maybe you have a kid that you feel like you've not been spending enough time with and you just want to do a puzzle with them or play a game with them at least once a week where you have no other distractions, nothing else going on. It's not a family meal. It's just one-on-one time with that particular kid. Or maybe it's a date night with your spouse. You don't want to set some sort of weird, creepy, smart goal for date nights because that, like, trust me, that will not go well. But it can be a practice goal where you just say, you know what, on a regular basis, you know, like once a week, we need to get in the habit of, making time for a date night once a week. Even if we're getting takeout and we're eating it in the car because the restaurants are all closed, you know, we're gonna make this work. So some sort of, exercise 5 times a week, love it. So those things that we've got to do on a consistent basis, again, often we phrase these as resolutions. Often these things really will become habits. And habits are incredibly powerful because you start to go on autopilot after a while, right? Like, do we have any runners who are tuning in live now? Give me a me, type me in the chat or a raised hand emoji or something if you're a runner. And runners are weird, right? Because they say things like, I love running. It makes me feel great. And those of us who are not runners look at them skeptically and say, are you kidding me? Like, running is kind of miserable. How do you like that? Well, I feel like there are some things that happen when you get into the habit of being a runner. You know, we call it like the runner's high. And it stops feeling like painful work, right? And it starts to create this kind of flow state when you've built that habit. You know, you can kind of get in the zone. You can really start to enjoy it. And things that are unpleasant or painful the first time start to become like second nature. Amanda's a runner and that you get that runner's high and just really start to enjoy that habit. So if you look at other people, like I have a colleague who's an education consultant, and I saw the other day that he's written 17 books, and I've written one. And I realize, you know, if I want to have written 17 books someday, I can never leave the habit. Like I have to stay in the habit of writing every single day. And building those habits takes time, but it also takes a connection to those higher level goals, right? And one of the reasons I haven't written more books by this point already, I've been a consultant for like 8 years now, and it hasn't been connected to one of my higher level goals. I don't need 10 books in order to do the work that I'm doing, but I am ready to write that second book. So that's gonna be my focus for this quarter. So I thought what I would do to kind of recap this goal system is just list all of the goals that go together that came to mind for writing this book. So as a parameter goal, I'm not going to retreat to a cabin in the woods and leave my family for 8 weeks to write this book. I'm going to continue to be present for my family. I'm probably only going to write for a couple hours a day, so I'm going to be able to keep up with my existing obligations at the Principal Center and be there for my family. In terms of purpose, this goal connects to a higher level purpose for me of impacting the profession and making a difference for student learning. In terms of phases, again, I know I'm not going to get this entire book done this quarter because the publication process takes longer than that, but I at least want to get the rough draft done, and that will include fleshing out the table of contents, submitting a proposal to our publisher, and of course, doing all this working with Heather. So Heather's seeing some of this for me for the first time, but we've been working on a Google Doc for quite a while now. In terms of progress goals, I'm going to need to hit a certain word count on a particular time frame, and I haven't figured out what that's going to be yet, but my word count's going to matter. When we start getting deadlines from the publisher, that's going to be a progress check, and those deadlines are going to be what kind of keep us on track in terms of effort. So it may be that I've been working 2 hours a day on the book. There may be certain deadlines where I need to work much more on it than that. So that'll keep us on track. And then the practice goal, you know, the bottom line is I'm going to have to write every day. I'm going to have to set aside time, probably 5 days a week, to crank out the writing. There's no escaping that. So I would love for you to kind of think through that 5P model: parameter, purpose, phase, progress, and practice. What is it going to take for you to get your goals done this quarter? So think about that. I'd love to have your comments on that. If you can give me an example just like the one that I just shared with you. But as you think about that, I want to give you a couple cautions in terms of how these relate to one another. First, please understand this is not a linear top-down process where you start with your big picture contribution to the world and then you kind of zoom in and deduce what your purpose and progress and phase and practice goals are. It doesn't work quite that linearly. And you may think of these out of order, right? You may think, you know what, I want to run every day. And then you may link that to a phase goal. You might say to yourself, you know what, I actually want to run a half marathon in May. So I want to work up to being able to run a half marathon. So you'll think of these out of order, and sometimes you'll really latch on to one type of goal and it'll start to matter to you way more than it would seem like it should. Go with it, right? If you really want to run that half marathon in May, fabulous. Let that be your focal point, but go ahead and articulate those other goals so that you end up with something that you're happy with, so that you end up with a complete package of results that you're happy with. Because if you say, you know what, my goal is to run an ultra marathon in June, and I'm going to have to run for 6 hours a day to train for that, well, you know what? That's going to violate one of my parameter goals. Like, I'm not willing to be gone from my family to run for 6 hours a day, even if I was capable of that right now. So think through all five levels, because they really do fit together nicely as a package, even though it's not top down or linear. There's not always one purpose goal for one phase goal for one progress goal. Like, you'll have different numbers of goals at different levels and stages. Let's see, lower level goals without higher level goals usually will not stick, right? Don't tell yourself, I'm going to do 100 push-ups a day just for the heck of it. Like, that kind of resolution does not stick. That's why resolutions famously get abandoned. The more meaningful, the less measurable, right? The things we care about the most, our relationships, our impact, our values, tend to be harder to measure. And the things that tend to be easier to measure tend to be less meaningful to us. So just be aware of that. Set both types of goals so that you end up with achievements that you are happy with when you look back. Anytime you have a long slog ahead of you, look for milestones that you can put into place. For example, getting our first rough draft done will help me and Heather get through the long slog of writing a, you know, 50, 60, 70,000 word book. So give yourself milestones, break things down. Think about how degree programs at universities are built this way, right? Every quarter you have classes that you have to finish and you get your grade at the end of that quarter, not 2 years from now when you finish your degree, right? So break things down just like they do in universities, just like they do in companies, you know, break things down into quarters and shorter chunks of time. Paige says, thinking of goals and relating to purpose, the why is important to consider, particularly when goals can only be achieved through collaborative efforts with others. Very well said, Paige, I love that. The collaborative aspect adds a whole different dimension, doesn't it? Because some of those higher level purposes may be clear to us, but we may need to communicate those or remind people of why we're doing something, right? To move the ball down the field, to get people to keep putting forth effort month after month. We've got to keep that why in the front of people's minds. But it, you know, again, purpose goals aren't the only kind. We've got to have every single kind that we've talked about here. So that is the 5P goal system. I hope that's helpful to you. And what I'd like to do now, is, by the way, let me know, is that helpful? Is that a useful framework? I'm gonna put up the example again just for a second, but let me know what you think about that. Was that helpful to have those 5P goal examples here, parameter, purpose, phase, progress, and practice? Feel free to take a screenshot of that if you would like. And I hope that's a useful framework for you. I haven't shared that with very many people, so I'd love to have your feedback as you use that that framework to set some goals and think about it for your new year. Love to know. Thank you, Laura Lynn, and thank you, Tasha Lynn and Chandra. Love it. Thank you. All right, so let's talk about budgeting and estimating, because this often is where we get off track with our goals. Is we just don't budget realistically, we don't plan realistically, we think we can accomplish more than we can, or we don't think we can accomplish as much as we actually are capable of. So that creates an opportunity for us to get good at estimating well how much we can get done. And I'm confident that Heather and I are going to be able to write this book this quarter because I've done it before and because I know how big a project it is, right? And Heather has time set aside for it, and it's not a ridiculous goal given everything else that she has going on in her life. So the ability to estimate really is key to your success. You know, if we overestimate how much we can get done, we get discouraged when we don't hit those targets and we give up, or we underestimate how much we can get done and we fall short of our potential. So got to get good at estimating. And that includes estimating our baseline workload. You know, how busy are you with the stuff that you have already committed to? And how much time can you dedicate to new or additional goals? You know, if you are having a kid and finishing a degree, you know, that may not be the best time to take on some huge, hobby. Maybe sometimes, you know, we've all worked with people who have been that kind of person who's going to like have a kid and run a marathon and get their doctorate all at the same time. You know, if that's you, great. But most of us need to budget our time and energy differently. So we've got tools like the calendar that help us budget our time. You know, obviously you can't have 25 hours of meetings in a 24-hour day. So we have those calendar tools for budgeting our time. What I want to share with you today is a tool for budgeting your mental energy, right? And mental energy is exactly what it sounds like. It's a real thing. Our members hear me talk about this all the time. You have a fixed amount of mental energy for the day. You know, there's only so much that you're going to do, no matter how many cups of coffee you drink at 11 o'clock at night. Like, we all learned this lesson the hard way in college, right? Like, if you have not started on your paper, it's a 20-page paper, it's due tomorrow, no amount of coffee is going to give you the mental energy that you need at 11 o'clock the night before it's due to get that paper done well, right? Like, we have to actually think of ourselves as not infinite wells of productivity, right? Like, every given day, you have a certain amount of energy to spend on what is going to get done that day, or what your obligations are. So going beyond that is not really possible, because, you know, just as there are only 24 hours in the day, there's only so much mental energy that you have to devote to your work. And of course, the better health you're in, the fewer distractions that you're facing. You know, if you don't have young kids at home, I have young kids at home, so I just have to factor that in to everything that I do as part of my budgeting for my mental energy. You know, all of that factors in to what you can devote to particular goals. So what I'm going to suggest that you do, because everybody is different, everybody has a slightly different situation, I'm going to suggest that you give yourself a budget of 10 points a day. And you say to yourself, well, today I can get 10 points of work done. Now, my 10 points are not going to be the same as yours. There's no absolute scale here. It's a relative arbitrary scale. But for the sake of simplicity, tell yourself, I can get 10 points of work done today. And I'm going to have to allocate those 10 points to what I choose to focus on. Now, writing my book this quarter, writing my next book with Heather this quarter, is going to take several points a day on a consistent basis in order for that to get done. And I need to be aware of that budgetary demand, right? Like, if you're gonna buy a house, that mortgage is gonna demand a certain chunk of your budget every month until it's paid off. And we've got to do the same with our goals. So allocate points to the work that you're going to be doing, your existing commitments that consume mental energy, right? Like if you, again, if you have kids, they're going to consume some of your mental energy. And you've got to kind of allocate that. If you're going to have big decisions to make or big projects to work on other than your goal, you've got to to budget for those. And that includes both personal and work related, you know, like there's only one brain, right? If you could have a work brain and a personal brain, maybe life would be easier, but we only have one brain. We only have one set of mental energy. So this is all getting budgeted together from that common store. And I recommend that you just give yourself 10 points and say, okay, I'm going to spend 2 points writing this. I'm going to spend 3 points on that, you know, this many points dealing with kids in the morning and this many points at night, you know, that kind of thing. And give yourself the ability to estimate how much work you can get done in a day. What do those 10 points represent for you? It's going to be different than it is for me. And you kind of figure out what does 10 points mean. And then over time, you'll be able to estimate more and more accurately what you can get done in a day. But be aware that people are bad at this. People overwhelmingly are terrible at estimating how much they will get done in a day. And this requires constant vigilance and constant honesty with yourself about how much you can actually get done. Back in the 70s, Daniel Kahneman and his colleague Amos Tversky studied what they now call the planning fallacy. This idea that we can tend to be tremendously optimistic about how much we'll get done in a given amount of time. And then when we fail to achieve that, we're surprised somehow that our unrealistic estimates were unrealistic. So I think one of the best things that we can do is practice good estimation, especially with big projects. We want to break those down and we want to test our accuracy in achieving little chunks of those. So if you have a big project, do break it down. You know, you're not just going to write a book. You're going to do an outline and write the sections and write the chapters and so forth. Break it down, identify some steps in order, schedule those steps on particular days, estimate the amount of work that each of those steps is going to be, and keep an eye on your total workload for the day, including personal and other kinds of obligations. So what I thought we would do now is share an example, and I'm actually going to give you this template here. This is, as I promised, the best planning tool that I have come up with for my own personal use, and I want to make sure you have access to this as well. So this is what I call the Fortnite Sprint Plan, and I'll give you the PDF link in just a second. You can download this and print this out for yourself. What this allows you to do is brainstorm your tasks, maybe miscellaneous tasks, maybe tasks related to a particular project. You might keep a copy of this just for one big project and kind of focus exclusively on that project on this template, if it's extremely detailed. But I like planning my entire week with this template, because what I can do is I can say to myself, how many points out of my 10 points a day will I get done on this particular day? And am I on track to be done by when I need to be done with this particular part of it? So for example, for the book that Heather and I are writing, we'll need to draft the table of contents. We will probably need to schedule a call to talk about it. We will need to do some writing. And one of the wonderful things about Google Docs is we don't have to do that writing at the same time. We can work on it whenever it works for us. We're in very different time zones, all good. And then there are some deadlines, right? We're going to have to get a proposal in. We're going to have to get revisions done. So all of that I can plan out in the Fortnite Sprint Plan. So what is a fortnight and why are we talking about this archaic unit of time? And I'll give you the link to download this in just a moment. Let's go ahead and talk about fortnights here, because I think these are really underappreciated in American society, at least, right? It's kind of a British term. Go ahead and download this if you would like at principalcenter.com/fortnight. If you are on a mobile device, you know, we'll make sure you have this link. Somebody go ahead and put this in the chat for anybody who wants to come back to it later. If people don't want to interrupt the live stream on their device, I want this to be here in the comments. So if somebody wouldn't mind putting that in the comments there, principalcenter.com/fortnight-pdf. That'll give you a 2-page template that you can print. Don't print it double-sided. Print it single-sided because you want it to open up like this, right? You want it to be a 2-page spread. Somebody go ahead and, here, I'll put that in the chat here. It's kind of long. Fortnite-pdf. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Deborah, thank you. All right, Fortnite-PDF will get you that PDF file. So Fortnite, I actually had to look this up because I was kind of thinking that it was something like this. But yeah, it turns out the Fortnite is a shortening of 14 nights from the old English 14 nights. And it just means 2 weeks, right? Fortnite is 2 weeks. And I call this the Fortnite sprint plan because within a 2 week period, you can accomplish a lot. You can accomplish a lot more than you can accomplish in 1 week. And sometimes if you're careful, you can even accomplish more than you could in an entire month. So what is the sprint part? We call this the Fortnite sprint plan. A sprint is a fixed unit of time, often 2 weeks, in which specific work is accomplished. And I've drawn that phrase, that sprint phrase, from the Agile or Scrum software development framework. So a lot of software development works in sprints. I have a number of friends who are in the software industry, and they use sprints to get things done, right? With their programming teams, their project management teams, they have a sprint where they say, this part of this project is going to get done within this period of time. And I love the utility of that. Like, it works so well, even if we're talking about our own personal lives. What I think is interesting about the Fortnite length of a sprint in particular is that we don't think in 2 week chunks in our society, right? Like, only paychecks come in 2 week chunks in American society for some reason. We think in terms of weeks, we think in terms of months, we think in terms of years. We don't think in terms of fortnights. So this can be your useful borrowing from, you know, medieval England or whatever. You know, steal the Fortnite concept because it's incredibly useful. It's big enough for, you know, projects that can't fit in 1 week, but yet it's still small enough that you can do accurate planning day by day, and you can adjust your schedule. You can adjust your plans on that template based on what else comes up. So here's how to use that template. And again, the link is in the comments. This is a 2 week spread. Print it single-sided, not double-sided, so you can open it up and see the whole layout for the next 2 weeks. Brainstorm everything you need to do. Doesn't matter if you think of it out of order, just list everything in that left-hand column there. And then list what you're going to work on particular days and how many points it's going to be. I'm gonna go ahead and pull up an example here. Let's see, is this it? Yep. Just a personal project. And again, do use this for personal projects, because if they're going to consume your time and mental energy, you need to know that so that you're not planning unrealistic amounts of work alongside unrealistic amounts of personal work. So I might brainstorm a project like clean out the garage like this. You know, certain things are going to be 1 points, other things are going to be 2 points, other things are going to be 3 points or even more. And some of those things have to get done on certain days of the week. So I'm just going to think through, you know, what days can I go to the store? What day can I put some time into cleaning out the garage, you know, bagging trash, etc. Break it down based on when those things need to get done, even if that's not the order that you think of them in. All right, here's another example. Staff evaluations, right? Big part of the spring semester traditionally for administrators. You may want to spend some time over a weekend rereading the documents describing your evaluation process, make sure you're in compliance with all the regulations. You might want to send out an email to your staff reminding them that they need to schedule a meeting with you or an observation or something. Then you're going to need to put in some time day after day to actually have those meetings with your staff or do those observations, whatever it is. That's going to be a lot of time on a consistent basis over, you know, a stretch of time. But maybe you can fit those all in within a 2 week sprint. Maybe you say to yourself, you know what, I'm gonna observe every staff member for a full hour in the next 2 weeks. And that's going to be almost everything I get done, but I really believe in knocking it out. So many experienced principals do it that way because it works to compress the time frame and say, this is my sprint when I'm going to work on this project. And then they get it done. They protect that time because they can estimate it accurately and they can budget for what they need to actually get done. And in some cases, you know, you might have a Saturday that you even choose. I've got a Saturday marked on here into the following week for 8 points to do write-ups on a Saturday. If that works for you, if that's how you arrange your schedule so that you can get those write-ups done in a timely manner and meet those deadlines, do what works for you. But don't just make up an 8-point task. Like, prove to yourself that's actually going to be viable. So you'll notice here that this task spills into the second week, and it's very intentional that the Fortnite Sprint Planner covers 2 weeks. But what you want to do is you want to update this every week, not necessarily every day. You know, you can look back on it once a day as you update your daily planner, but I want to encourage you to really update this every single week, looking ahead 2 weeks. So the fortnight is a useful unit of time, but don't wait 2 weeks to update your plan. Update it every week, always looking ahead 2 weeks. Does that make sense that looking ahead 2 weeks would allow you to be more effective with this week and allow you to make more accurate estimates of how much time something is going to take? Let me know in the chat while I answer this question here. Colleen says, estimation numbers are assigned to mental energy, physical time, or the combination of both. Colleen, I think, honestly, it's both. Since we tend to already have boxes in place on our calendars for time, you know, you may not find that you need to worry about time as much. To me, the real constraint is mental energy, that like you're just, even if something doesn't take a lot of time, if it's mentally very draining, you may have plenty of time left in the day and get nothing done because you're out of energy. So I would encourage you to think of this in terms of mental energy, and that will naturally incorporate the element of time. If you find that that's not really true, and this can become a problem when you get into a flow state. This is definitely a problem for me when I get into a flow state. I think I'm just going to work a little bit on something, and then I get just going on it, and it goes hours and hours and hours, and you know, people knock on the door and say, hey, what are you doing? You know, we kind of needed you to do other stuff. So if you get in that flow state, the time can become a problem, but most of the time you're going to run out of mental energy before you run out of time. So do whatever works for you. And it is kind of a joint definition. So good question. I'm sorry I don't have as clear cut an answer, but yeah, they're related. So I would think in terms of time/mental energy. Deborah says, this will help me keeping the accountability piece very present together with a sense of urgency. Yes. And Heather, thank you for reminding me of that question. What about the normal stuff? What about the stuff that you just have to do every day anyway, like answering email? Well, if you know that answering email is a good 40% of your day, if you know, maybe your school district is all virtual and has been all year, so basically you're on email all day, every day, and that's a good 40% of the work that you get done, then give that those points, right? Give that those points that they need, because you don't want to, what you don't want to do is say, that doesn't really matter, so I'm not going to give it points. I'm going to give points just to the stuff I want to get done. Well, then if that stuff you still have to get done ends up eating up your time and energy anyway, it's not going to lead to an accurate estimate. So definitely do factor that in. The exception, and I wish we had more time to go into detail on this, the exception is stuff that you're going to do by habit anyway. If you are absolutely unconcerned that you will get something done, you're just definitely going to get it done, then you may not need to give it any points, right? Like if you are such a committed runner that every day you just automatically wake up and hit the road and run your 5 miles, you don't even need to plan any mental energy for it. If it's a solid in place habit, you may not need to give it any points. If email has gotten that way for you, you may not need to factor email in. I think for most people, email is going to be a couple points every day, though, and maybe the single largest drain of, yeah, Pamela says, email seems to take up most of my mental energy and actual time. And that's simply because all of the job has been crammed into email, right? It's not just email. It's like all of your work has taken the form of email. Great questions. Great reflections there. How the template works. Yeah, let me go back to that. Just a moment here. So Peggy, how the template works. So this is a 2-week spread. You want to brainstorm your projects and tasks. Oh, I'm not on, I don't have my slides on the screen. So that would be helpful if I did that. It is a 2-week spread. You want to brainstorm your projects and tasks in the left-hand column. You want to mark specific points for specific days and say, okay, I'm going to spend 3 points of effort on cleaning out the garage on Sunday or whatever, 5 points writing evaluations on Thursday, so that you can estimate your workload both for each part of each project and in total for each day of the week. So the columns are there very intentionally, right? The columns are there so that you can total up how many points you're thinking you're going to get done on, say, Wednesday. So if on Wednesday I've given myself 18 points of work to do, I can have a little bit of a reality check for myself and say, you know what? That's not going to happen. I'm going to have to move some things around if I'm going to stay on track with this. So the reality check happens both horizontally for each task or each, you know, element of each task, and then vertically for each day, because again, you really only have 10 points a day to work with. All right. So you can download that at principalcenter.com/fortnight-pdf. And I believe that as a result of using that process and using that template, you can get some serious work done this quarter. And I know you have some serious goals, both for yourself personally and professionally. And I want to encourage you to use the unit of time that we call the quarter if you have not currently been using that unit of time, right? It's very common in universities and corporations, but sometimes in our personal lives, we don't think in terms of quarters, right? We think in terms of years, we think in terms of weeks and days, but we don't think about the fortnight or the quarter. But you can really accomplish some big milestones in the next quarter. Let's see, Heather says, I found I have to be real with my expectations around when I'm at work, when I'm at my best at work. Yeah, more points in the morning versus off work days, more points in the late afternoon or evening. Oh, wonderful point there, Heather, that this may be different on different days of the week. You know, weekends are different from work days. Love it. So think to yourself, what big milestones, what tangible accomplishments can I knock out in the coming quarter, right? Today is January 1st. It is the very first day of the quarter as well as the year. Don't think to yourself, what am I going to get done by December 31st? Don't think in terms that, because that's too long, right? December 31st might as well be a million years in the future. Think in terms of the next 13 weeks. What can I accomplish in that time? Think in terms of how many sprints fit within a quarter. You've got roughly six of them, right? There are 13 weeks in a quarter, 52 weeks in a year. So you've got six fortnight sprints, six of those 2 week periods, plus a little bit of buffer time. Maybe you're not counting this week at all, and that's certainly fine. Maybe you won't even count next week, but think in terms of those 2 week chunks. When you're back at work, when you're firing on all cylinders, what big milestones can you knock out? You may need to break them down. Maybe you can't finish your entire doctorate, but you are working on the dissertation proposal this quarter. Wonderful. Make yourself accountable to getting some of those big milestones done. And use that planning template to think weekly, like to update your plans weekly, but to plan 2 weeks at a time. And I promise you will get more productive. So I hope this is helpful. Download that template. And if you want to have some accountability from me and from our other members in staying on track, I don't talk about this very often, but we are opening up registration for the Achievement Science Quarterly Intensive. And someday I will open this up to non-educators. Right now, this is just for us as Principal Center people. So if you're a Principal Center member, if you're a paying Instructional Leadership Association member, you can join this program at no cost. And we just include that with your membership. It's on a totally different website. A lot of our members don't do it. It's, you know, this is totally up to you if you want to be a part of this, but this is what we call the quarterly intensive. And you use the planner. There's a paper planner that you print out. We send you a PDF and you print that out. You use the fortnight sprint planner to coordinate between your days and your 2 week chunks of time. Every day I go into the app, I go into the group and do an accountability post there. And I ask you to let me know when you have planned the next day. And I do this every single day. I do it on weekends. I do it on holidays. I do it when I'm on vacation, because every day we need to be accountable to ourselves for making the most of the hours that are given to us and the mental energy that we have to work with. So we have a dedicated website, dedicated app. You get the planner. Our January planner is out now. I printed mine earlier this week, and we've got our seasonally appropriate cover. And then we have day spreads for every day of the month. So I've got my January 1st planner here. We've got a place to take notes. So if this can work as a general purpose planner for you, great. Some people have a planner that they use already. Totally up to you if you use this or not, but you can use the Fortnite Sprint Planner. And then in the group, I will post every day and people reply. I see some of these people here today. In fact, all of these people might be here today. Shelly's got her planner printed out. There is a remarkable correlation between the people that show up every day and say, done, I've planned my day for tomorrow, and the people who actually get a lot done. It is really remarkable to see how much some of these leaders are accomplishing just day in and day out. So if you'd like to be a part of that, again, we include it with the Instructional Leadership Association. And as you may have seen, registration for the Instructional Leadership Association is open now. We've had it closed for a while just to focus on other things. Every week you get my latest and greatest training, just like we're doing here. This one's a little longer than usual, but usually we have a 20 to 30 minute episode of the Instructional Leadership Show with new training. You get a copy of my book, you get the audiobook of that, you get the Marshall memo from Kim Marshall. We send member updates every Wednesday, so once a week you'll get a digest email with all of our new stuff for the week for you to check out. So there's a lot there. Feel free to read about it at principalcenter.com/ILA. But if you know you want to keep yourself on track and join the Achievement Science Quarterly Intensive, it's super simple. It's exactly what I just said. I post in the group every day and you reply when you've planned your day tomorrow using the strategies that we've talked about. I have some articles there that go into more detail on how to do that planning. I answer questions in that group. I love to have questions about how you're using the 5P goal setting system. And we have some more detailed articles on that in particular. But if you would like to check this out, registration's open now at principalcenter.com/ILA. The Instructional Leadership Association is $47 a month. I've got your first month deeply discounted. So if you would like to check this out just for January, feel free. I will still send you a copy of my book to keep. You will still get the planner PDF and the template, and you can get into the group and check that out. See if you like it. If you don't like it, cancel. If you don't want to stick with it, just send me an email and say, please cancel. We get those emails. Probably one person a day cancels. We have so many members. It does not hurt my feelings. I would really love for you to check this out. And I think we've got it set at $3 for your first month. So go ahead and check that out at principalcenter.com/ILA. The quarterly intensive program, again, we may open that up to non-educators in the future, but really this is for school administrators, principals, assistant principals, principal supervisors, aspiring administrators, instructional coaches, people who provide professional development through regional service centers. We have all of the above as members in the Instructional Leadership Association, and I would love to have you in that program. So please check that out at principalcenter.com/ILA. Amanda is a part of it. Love to have Amanda checking in daily in the quarterly intensive. Amanda, I just have to say I'm inspired by how much you get done by just keeping yourself on track. It really is remarkable. So thank you for being here and thank you for showing up every day in that group. A couple of recommendations and takeaways here. I know we're out of time, but try that planner template. Even if you do this completely on your own, you don't want any help, you don't want to join anything, download that template. It's just a PDF file. You print it out, principalcenter.com/fortnight-pdf, and see if that template allows you to budget and estimate more accurately and get more of your goals accomplished. Try your goal setting this year with all five types of goals in mind. Don't make the mistake of just planning SMART goals. Set parameter goals, purpose goals, phase goals, progress goals, and practice goals in any order that you like, whatever order they occur to you. Plan those together. Anne-Marie, great question. Is the quarterly intensive available without the ILA? No. So it will be in the future. It will actually be more expensive than ILA because it'll be aimed at more of a business audience. So no, it's only available for ILA members, and it's just kind of a free, free bonus for our members. I wanted to do it for myself, so I've opened it up to members. And then again, in the future, we'll offer it as more of a, something for people who are interested in productivity for business. But it's all educators for now. My third recommendation, budget both your time and your mental energy. Use that point system, 10 points a day, just to give yourself kind of a quantitative baseline for being able to estimate how much you can get done in a day and estimate how much work a given project is going to be, and give it a try. And if you're already an ILA member, just shoot me an email, Pamela, and we'll get you the direct link. Yeah, we have to give you a special invite link, and we don't send that out super often because I don't want to bug people about it if they're not interested, but this is a great time. You may have an email from me this past Wednesday that has a link, but shoot me an email and we'll get you into that that particular website. There's a separate app for it. I love having the app on my phone and chatting with people there. We use Mighty Networks for that quarterly intensive, and that's a lot of fun. Yeah, just send me an email. We'll get you in, and we'll make sure you get access to that. So happy new year. Thank you so much for being here. Really wonderful to engage with you. Thank you for bearing with us through the technical difficulties. Please reach out anytime. I'm going to give you my email address in the comments here. and we'll be happy to help you sort out any login issues. So I'll just send that to everybody who's a member, because we have a lot of members who haven't taken advantage of that yet. But feel free to email me directly in the meantime, and we'll get you in there. Our customer service team is out today, but they will be back on Monday. So any customer service issues, billing, things like that, we'll definitely get back to you. And let's see, I think that is it. Again, if you want to join us, it's just principalcenter.com/ILA. It is discounted. Your first month is discounted to $3 today. So I highly recommend that you check this out before that goes up, because it will be going up and then it'll be closing. You know, we don't keep this open all the time because we've got other things going on. But do check that out. Happy New Year. Thank you so much for being here. Wonderful to engage with you and think through goals with you. Best wishes as you pursue a wonderful 2021. Thanks so much. Have a great day. Bye-bye.